Welcome to the Once and Future Authors podcast. I'm Stephanie, and I am so delighted today to be joined by author John Ellison, author of Some Kind of Wonderful. In 1967, John Ellison wrote what would become one of the most famous songs in the history of popular music. She's Some Kind of Wonderful. Some Kind of the John Ellison Story gives readers a unique and detailed glimpse into a life filled with tremendous hardship and violent racism. Born into an impoverished family in a small coal mining town in West Virginia, a young John started on a difficult career path as a musician that would pose unforeseeable challenges. Through it all, John not only survives, but finds love and acceptance, and earns a place among his peers as a respected songwriter and performing artist. Please join me in welcoming John Ellison. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Stephanie, for that beautiful introduction.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled to have you. Absolutely thrilled. And what a big smile you have. I just read about hardship and racism and clamoring your way up, and I just get to see a smiling face. So I absolutely adore that. Thank you so much. How does it feel to be not just an author, but, I mean, an iconic songwriter, just not a songwriter, but iconic?
Well, I tell everyone, you know, I just did what God ordained me to do. I followed my dreams, and against all odds, you know, I was determined to become a singer and a songwriter. I was not planning on working in a coal mine like my father and everyone around me. And so I went for it. And I took a leap of faith. My parents always said that, you know, God watches over you, and whatever you wanted to do in life, you can do it as long as you believed in yourself. And so I made up my mind when I was age 13 that this is what I was going to do.
Well, I got to tell you, most 13-year-olds I know don't know what they're going to do tomorrow.
Well, I agree, but you know, I picked up my dad's guitar one day just because he played guitar on the weekends when he wasn't working, just for his family enjoyment. And I just said, well, one day I picked it up. I said, let me see if I can play this thing. So I started fiddling around with it, and next thing you know, I was playing it, and I thought, wow, this is easy. So I got the bug, as they say, and still has the bug.
That's fabulous. You said, and I love the way you phrased it, that you were literally just following the will, you know, that you
exactly. Just,
I'm sure, though, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you are just much more faithful than I. Was there a day that you woke up and said, are you sure about this, God? Are you sure? Is this the thing?
Well, I would say later on in life, because I was facing so much hardship, and especially after I wrote the song Some Kind of Wonderful, and things did not go quite the way I had envisioned it to go, because of the fact, again, you know, the racism, the discrimination, and not having the same opportunity as white artists. One day I went into the woods, you know, and I was so frustrated. And I started praying out loud, and I asked God, I said, you know, I have all this talent, and it looked like there's so many roadblocks in my way. And I said, if there's something else you want me to do, give me some kind of sign, because I really can't take this anymore. I mean, it was just like one roadblock after another. But the signs that was put forth in front of me was, don't give up what I'm doing, continue. And that's what I did. And doors opened and they continued to open, and here I am.
That's amazing. But that's as much a testament to you for your openness and your listening. I mean, there's that joke about a man who his boat overturns in the ocean and he prays to God to save him, and a helicopter comes by and he says, "No, I'm good."
Yeah, I know that story.
You know the
Yeah, I know the story.
story, right?
Yeah,
But you listened. You didn't say, "No, I'm just waiting for something." When you were given a sign or multiple signs, you picked up on that. And I just
exactly.
love hearing that, because too many people, I think that they're not getting those signs, and I think sometimes their eyes are closed.
I have to agree, Stephanie, because if you, I mean, we don't have enough time for me to tell you all the beautiful things that have happened, but I'll tell you something that really moving is, and I'll make it quick.
That's okay.
When in 1974, I had been praying. I wanted to go to Europe. I'd never gone to Europe, and so I got this opportunity. And the person that wanted to take me to Yugoslavia, he said to me, he said, "You guys," he saw my band, and he said, "You guys can make a lot of money in Yugoslavia." He said, "I'd really like to take you." So I talked to the guys in the band, and they all said no because he was not paying their way, paying our way over. So I spoke to my wife. I said, "How would you feel if I bought the tickets to go?" I said, "This person that I met, he has assured me that from the first concert that we do, I would get all the money back that I've put in, that I invested in this trip." So she said, "Sure, let's go." She said, "I'd like to go too." Well, we went to, I bought tickets for everyone in the band, and the person also said, "You don't need to bring any instruments because we have all the instruments you need." He said, "We have the sound system." He said, "All you need to bring is your guitar, your guitars, your bass." He said, "But in terms of the amplification, the sound system, drums, we have all that there." I said, "Okay." And he said, "I also have a gentleman that, a friend of mine that owns a car dealership." He said, "You can purchase a vehicle after you get there, and instead of renting, you would use this vehicle for 6 months. And then at the end of the 6 months, you sell it back to him." So I took enough money to buy a vehicle. Well, when we landed in Yugoslavia and we went to meet this agency, they were talking in their language. I didn't understand what they were saying. But you could tell that there was some disagreement. Eventually the guy turned to me and he says, "John," he says, "we have a problem." He said, "There is no tour." He said, "Tony lied to you," and he said, "And what makes things even worse, you don't even have instruments." He said, "So you don't have the musical equipment you need to do concerts." He said, "I'll do the best I can, but first you need to find equipment." Well, I had to go back and tell the guys in the band that there's no tour and we can't tour. We don't have equipment. Well, everybody freaked out. Except me. I said, "Okay, God would not bring me this far for something to happen to me like this." So we started looking for instruments. We couldn't find any. 1 week went by, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And then a voice spoke to me and said, "John, get in your van and drive." So I told my wife, "Let's go for a drive." So we went for this long drive in Yugoslavia. I had no idea where I was going. I was just driving. After about 2 hours of driving, I turned around. Something said to me, "Turn around and go back." Well, as soon as I turned around to go back, within 5 minutes after I turned around, the van died. It was as if someone reached in and turned the key ignition off. The car would not move. I drifted to the side of the highway. There was no houses around, nothing. My wife started crying like a baby, bawling her eyes out. Plus, my wife was pregnant at the time,
Oh no.
and we couldn't go home. So she was asking, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "Look, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, but God would not bring me this far and abandon me. What's going to happen? I don't know. I said, something's got to happen. About 11 o'clock that night, I see in my rearview mirror, I see this headlights coming towards me in the distance. Well, it passed by me. It was the big truck. He pulled over on the side of the road. He gets out and he comes back and he says, you have a problem. And I said, yes, my van won't start. I don't know what happened. He said, well, let's see if we can get it started. Well, we couldn't get it started. He said, I can give you a ride wherever you're going. And I said, well, I have my wife in the and my baby. I had a 2-year-old daughter with me. So we get in the van, and not the van, but we get in this big truck. And as soon as you get in this truck, you know, the lights come on when you open the door. I look in the back of this big truck and it's full of musical equipment.
No.
Yep. Amplifiers, drums, sound system, everything you can think of. So I asked the guy, I said, are you guys a band? And he laughed. He said, no. He said, we work for a music company and we look for artists that want to tour. And we travel with them and we set up the equipment for them. So
That's
I
amazing.
couldn't, I asked him to repeat it. And he said, we look for artists that need instruments and want to tour. And I said, well, I have a band here for, and so he drove us to the hotel. He checked into the hotel. The next morning he called Vienna and said, I found a band that wanted from the US and they want to travel and they want to do concerts. They set us up on a tour for the next 8 months.
Oh my gosh.
So I never gave up. And so that's how my whole life has been.
Okay, that is the most memorable story I have ever heard, that you were actually driving the car out for a drive. You just knew I'm supposed to go for a drive. And you drove
Right,
the car out
exactly.
for a drive that there was no destination. You were just told to go for
Exactly.
a drive. You went out for this drive, the car died. You sat there
Yep.
with a 2-year-old and a pregnant wife on the side of the road,
Exactly.
and a truck pulls up in the middle of the night filled with
5 hours after 5 hours, this truck comes by with
instruments.
a truck full filled with equipment, musical equipment.
And it's not even like it's somebody else's equipment or that they're driving to a store to sell the equipment. They were actually wanting to meet up with a band.
Exactly. That
Oh
is the
my God.
truth. That is the God's truth.
That's an amazing. You better watch out because I'm gonna tell like everybody I know I heard this story because you know when you're with people and they say, have you ever heard of a story when somebody was really received a message or really intervention, you know, whether this is an intervention, this is like
Exactly.
an angel
My
just
whole life
flying
has been
right.
that way.
Wow, what a life. What
Yeah.
some kind of wonderful.
Exactly.
That's just
So.
amazing. Well, then my question was a moot point because of course you're going to keep moving forward with things like that happening to you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's
Yeah.
amazing. Well, I was going to ask you about your most memorable moment on tour, but besides the angel delivering you all of your equipment, you got a memorable story from tour? That's just wild.
I would say my most memorable tour, a performance, was in the south of France. I opened for James Brown, and at the end of the concert, when I walked off stage, people continued to scream for John Ellison. They didn't want James Brown. And so the next day, in the newspaper, the article, and I kept this article, I have it even today. This was in 2000 and no, I'm sorry, 2001. I was in the south of, I think it was 2001. But what was written was, although James Brown's name was much larger than my name, it said this concert will only be remembered because of John Ellison.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I blew the show. I stole the show.
Oh, that is amazing. That's like
Yeah.
nowadays the opening act for Taylor Swift, and they remember the opening act.
Right, exactly. Yep, that's how it was.
Oh,
It was actually, it was in the, it was, no, it wasn't in 2000. It was in the 90s. The, I don't know, 90, 95 or 96, somewhere around there.
well, I'm
But
surprised you didn't just move to the south of France because you obviously have a huge fan base there.
yeah, I have a, not only in France, but in Italy as well. In 2016, I was put on the front cover of a magazine, a European magazine, and because of my performance. Also, I think it was 2017, I was in Italy, and they made a postcard with my picture on it, and it's called The Face of Italy.
And you are the
So,
face of Italy. I
yeah, I was the face of Italy.
think pizza or a pastry or something.
So I have made my mark in the music world, for
I
sure.
see that. Well, with all this traveling, do you speak all these languages, or how do you get around?
No, I can speak a little French. I learned French because I did a lot of work with a French promoter, and I toured throughout the French part of Canada,
Oh, okay.
you know. Yeah, through Quebec, and so
The
I
fact
learned to parley a little Francais.
that you said Quebec instead of Quebec says you've got that French going. Yes, tu parles français. Absolutely.
Oui, je parle un peu français.
That's amazing. Well, tell me a little bit about this book. Was it hard to write? Was it hard to narrow down the stories? Did you have so much
Well,
to write 12 books? Tell me a little bit about it.
I wrote the book. I decided to write this book because, everywhere people, it whenever I talked to someone, they said, "Oh, you have done so well in life. You really made a name for yourself." And I wanted people to know that, yes, I have made a name for myself. But they have no idea the hardships and the things that I faced in order to become who I am. And it was not something that was just handed to me. I was just determined to do something with my life. And I wrote this, I wanted to write my autobiography because I wanted people to know things that I encountered in getting to where I am today. And also I wanted people to know that everything that you see on this earth came from someone's thought. It came from a dream or an idea. And that if you are determined to do something with your life, you can do it, but there will always be obstacles. And I said, I gave an example once. I said, if a person came into this room and they were looking for athletes, and they said, "Okay, how many in here would like to play football?" I said, "The ones that wanted to play football would raise your hands." I said, "So after he chooses team, he wouldn't say, 'Okay, the first game is in 6 months, so I want to see you on the field.' He would say, 'Okay, I've chosen my team. Tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I want everybody on this field. You're gonna run laps. You're gonna do push-ups. You're gonna get ready for this to become a member of my team.' I said, 'Some of you will rise to that occasion.' I said, 'But then there will be some of you who, after 3 or 4 days, you said, 'Oh wow, this is too hard. I can't do this.' And you remain in bed." I said, "But the ones that continue to push and push, those are the ones that are going to reap the benefits." I said, "So that's how life is." I said, "God chooses people to do something, it's up to you to grasp that. And no matter come hell or high water or how hard it is, you're gonna continue to push until you accomplish your goals. So
Tell me, besides being a musician, are you a motivational speaker? Because you are motivating.
yes,
Okay.
I just signed a contract with the lady that put me in touch with you.
Oh, well, she's a lucky one, that's for sure. You've got some audiences that definitely want to hear from you because I love the way you even just described what really is mindset. You know, so much of what happens to us is it starts here.
Exactly.
You know?
You know, and there, like I tell people, there will always be obstacles in life. But the way to use those obstacles, you use them as stepping stones. I said they're placed in your life for a reason. It's so every time you take a step over that, whatever is blocking you, it puts you one step higher
Right.
to your goal.
But
So,
you're so right. Other people see those stones in their path and they just go back to bed.
yes, exactly. And I mean, when I remember when I was a kid, and I always questioned things, which would also make my parents very angry with me, because, they were born in a time, especially, and so was I, where, segregated. And in a segregated area, you weren't allowed to do this, you weren't allowed to do that. And I always had a question, but I mean, why can't I do this? And why can't I? So my parents said, you just look, shut up and you do what I tell you to do. So I just, some things that just, it just didn't seem, it wasn't right. For example, I had to walk to school because of the color of my skin, while white kids rode the bus. And in order to get to my school where I went to school when I was in grade school, if I walked in a straight line, I could get to my school within 30 minutes, because you could almost, but because if I walked in a straight line, I would be walking through a white neighborhood. I wasn't allowed to do that. I had to walk
All the way.
all the way around to get, which would take me over an hour to get to
Oh.
school. So I asked my mom, and I said, "Why is it that I got to walk all the way around when I can see the school?" And she would say, "Look, boy, shut up and do what I tell you to do. You know,
Well, mom
this
has
is."
it impossible to explain because there's no logical reason. I get that.
So that's, that's how you would be answered. If I said, "Well, this doesn't seem right." Well, no, you shut up and do what I tell you to do. And so, and because I had a mind of my own, I got in a lot of trouble because of not, I mean, not big trouble, but I was told, because they would also lay this guilt trip on you. You could, if you said, if you didn't do what your parents said do, you were being disrespectful, and you were not honoring your parents. And they had this, they quoted things from the Bible: disobedience shortens your days. It's just as so. God didn't like people that disobeyed their parents, and so I was always in trouble, so to speak. So, but I mean, after I
One
made
will.
so
Well, you also had a sense of justice. I'm hearing in there that you had a sense of inherent justice too, and what was right.
yes, exactly. Yes, thing, and if things weren't right, I spoke out about it. I didn't I didn't just accept what people said,
That's
you
right.
know.
We need more people that don't simply accept things because people say it.
Right, exactly. So,
So important.
and I have another story for you in terms of me knowing what I wanted to do, and me having a vision. When I left home and I moved to Rochester, New York, I was in this, I had to get a job because I had to feed myself. So I was working in this restaurant and I was mopping the floor. It was in the winter. And these two businessmen came into the restaurant while I was mopping. And one said to me, he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to track up your floor. And I said, oh, don't worry about it, sir. I said, I'm not here anyway. So he looked at me, he said, pardon me? I said, I'm not here. So he said, you're not here? He goes, where are you? I said, man, I'm in front of thousands of people singing. I said, I'm on stage. So he looked at his buddy and they laughed. He said, well, if you say so, because that's where I was. I was never where I was where I was going. And so I lived in the dream.
That's a great that should be on like a poster to be where you want to be, to live the
Exactly.
dream, because that's how you
Yep.
get there, isn't it? If you don't have that vision in your head, if you don't know where it is you want to go, you're not going to get there.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. So, and I tell people all the time, I say, you know, everything you see on this earth, somebody thought about it. It came from a vision, a dream. It's a thought. The chair you're sitting in, the shoes you're wearing, you know, everything that you see on this earth, somebody thought about it. And that's why it's on this earth. So,
No, that's very true. Nothing would have existed if someone didn't dream about it first.
exactly.
You know?
So
It's got to dream
that's
bigger then. That's it.
be
We
a
all
dream.
have
I wrote a song. I wrote a song called I'm a Dreamer. It's such a beautiful song. You want me to sing it to you?
I do. I was going to just say, I hope you don't mind if I ask you to sing.
No, I'm going to sing it. It goes, I'm glad that I'm a dreamer and I've got dreams to hold on to. As long as I believe, there's nothing I can't achieve. 'Cause I know dreams do come true. And I'm a true believer that everything that we see came from a dream. As impossible as it might seem, it came from someone like me who was a dreamer. There was a man who believed he could fly, and this is why there's planes in the sky. He was a dreamer. There we go. So, you got a private concert.
You know, sometimes on the show, because I'm with authors, I'll ask them to read a little passage or that. No, you are my first to sing for me.
Well,
I love
yeah,
that.
everything I just saying is true. It's a fact. So,
That is awesome. Well, you are awesome. I am so excited to have had the chance to meet you and to bring you to our audiences. Just for all of our listeners out there, Some Kind of Wonderful, the John Ellison story. You're definitely going to want to snatch this up. And if you want him in person, I understand now he is absolutely available, whether it's for musical concerts or if you just want to hear his inspirational thoughts, because he has absolutely inspired me. You are just amazing, and I thank you so much for joining me today.
thank you, Stephanie, and you are an amazing
My
interview.
pleasure. Thanks so much.